day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. It's kind of strange. Here we are on the first Sunday of the church year, the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of the new lectionary cycle in year A. A whole new set of readings now sit before us. Scripture passages to preach on. And they choose for the gospel lesson for this first Sunday of the year a passage on the second coming of Jesus. I thought we were getting ready for Jesus' birth. I see a tree. I see an Advent wreath. I see purple Advent colors. We're singing Advent hymns. We're talking about the preparation for His coming. What are we doing reading about the end, the second coming? The coming of the Son of Man, the return of the Lord. It is indeed strange. But if you look at the lectionary readings for the church year, you'll notice that the first two Sundays of Advent do look not back to the birth, but forward to His return. If you look through the church year, you'll notice we have a season for celebrating Christmas, the birth of Jesus. We have a season for celebrating His revelation to the world as the Messiah, Epiphany. We have a season of preparation for the death of Jesus in Lent. We have a week for remembering the Last Supper and His death on the cross called Holy Week. We have Easter Sunday when we celebrate His resurrection. We have the season of Easter in which we look at how the resurrection of Christ Jesus transforms and changes us. We have Ascension Sunday when we remember His return to be with God in glory. We have Pentecost Sunday when we remember and celebrate the birth of the church with the coming of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the family of God. We have the Sundays halfway through the season after Pentecost called Kingdom Tide, when we remember and participate in God's kingdom here on earth. We have a season and a time in the church here for nearly everything but the return of Jesus. Except that if you look at the readings in the lectionary for years A, B, and C, you'll notice the first two Sundays of Advent are dedicated to the second Advent. To the return of the King, to the return of the Messiah, to the second coming. And we have at the very beginning this powerful passage, a passage that we connect with the second coming of Christ and the establishment of the kingdom of God fully and completely here on earth. However, we've heard it in our culture, especially over the last 150 years, we've heard it in connection with something called, in popular myth, the rapture. Now, y'all have heard that term, haven't you? Who here has either heard about, or I'll ask you to confess, or read the Left Behind books, at least one of them? A few, a very few. I'm proud of you. Not only mediocre fiction, it's very, very poor theology. In that series, The phrase left behind focuses in on a particular interpretation of today's reading. I mean, it's straightforward in the passage itself, but it takes some interpreting. Then, at the time of the second coming, at the time of the coming of the Lord, then two will be in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. And the traditional interpretation of the last century and a half is, ooh, the one who's taken is being taken by Jesus up to heaven in this rapture. We're going to be with Jesus in heaven, taken out of this world to go to the kingdom of God in heaven. You don't want to be left behind. So accept Jesus right now as your personal Lord and Savior. You know Jesus? He says yes. You might be surprised to know that for most of the history of the church, that's not how this passage was read. Most of the history of the church reads the passage within the context in which Jesus spoke it. And if you pay attention to what Jesus says, and the connection he draws between two are in the field, one is taken and one is left, and what he says about Noah, you have a better understanding of what Jesus was saying. So let's look at the context. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. They were partying. They were having fun. They were paying attention to the things that they wanted to do. They were dealing with their families, their friends, their agenda, their ideas of what was important. They weren't paying attention to what God wanted them to do. They weren't paying attention to a relationship with God. They weren't paying attention to working and serving as God would have them work and serve with others. They were doing their own thing. They weren't paying attention to God's will. They were doing the things of life. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, having a good time, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. Noah enters the ark with his family and the animals. The flood comes and sweeps away all the folk of the earth. God's going to start over anew. He's going to take Noah and Noah's family and the animals and the ark and sweep away, take away, flush away all of the bad people of the world that didn't pay attention and didn't do what God wanted them to do. The wicked people of the world. That's a private joke between Paul and myself. Oh, and the disciple people know it too, by the way. The wicked people, the people who weren't doing what God was telling them to do. They were just simply eating and drinking, marrying and getting married, and doing their own thing, not helping others, not serving others, and they weren't paying attention. And so God flushed them. So also, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man, the return of Christ, the return of the Lord, the return of the Messiah, the coming of God to be with us. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Just as the people who weren't paying attention were flushed, washed away by the flood, so too will be those who aren't paying attention today. In that context, two will be in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. One will be flushed, washed away, and one will be left. Ooh, it completely reverses the idea, doesn't it? In this case, if this is the right reading, and I'm being speculative here, if this is the right reading, then I would rather be left behind. Wouldn't you? Or do you want to be washed away and flushed like they were in the days of Noah? No. You don't want to be taken away. You want to be left behind in the kingdom of God. If you look at Jesus' parables about the kingdom of God and the choosing for who's in the kingdom of God, the tares and the wheat, The weeds get yanked out and thrown into the fire, leaving behind the wheat. The goats and the sheep. The goats are separated out, taken out, and the sheep are left behind pure in the kingdom of God. It's exactly the opposite of the idea of being caught away, taken out of this world. Instead, God transforms this world into God's kingdom and removes from it those who refuse to be a part of it. It's the opposite of what we've been told for 150 years. This passage isn't about the good people being caught out. It's about the people who pay attention being left behind in the kingdom of God. And those who weren't paying attention, as in the days of Noah, being washed away. That's what the beginning of Advent is about. Paying attention. Jesus goes on to say, "Keep awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known on what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into." I don't know any robber who comes along and says, "Okay, we're going to make an appointment now. I'm going to break in at 12:45. You're going to be gone?" No. Keep awake. Be aware. Watch. Participate in the kingdom of God. Its establishment here within the body of Christ, the church. Keep awake, watch, participate in what it, in all that it means to be a member of the body of Christ. Participate, keep awake, watch, so that you won't be surprised when the kingdom comes in fruition, completion. Keep awake, watch, participate, be involved in the family of God. And when that day comes, you won't be washed away like they were in the days of Noah. You won't be taken out. You'll be there in the kingdom. The beginning of Advent is a call to keep awake, to be aware, to watch and to participate in the family of God. The season of Advent is, the whole season of Advent is about that. We begin by saying, He's returning. We profess it in our faith, in our creeds. We have it in Scripture. It's in the articles of religion of our denomination. We believe that Jesus is returning to establish the kingdom of God, and that the church today is a foretaste of that kingdom. And we are called to participate in bringing that kingdom in so that the whole world will see and know Jesus. See and know the call of God to love and to grace and to peace and to truth, to the light of peace, the peace that the world cannot give, that only Christ gives in His coming. We begin the season of Advent by looking forward to the completion of the incarnation of the Christ child. When God incarnate in human flesh returns to make the kingdom of God fully incarnate in our midst. Sunday after next, we'll celebrate and move on towards Christmas Day and shift our focus back to that glorious birthday so long ago. But today we begin by looking forward and asking ourselves, are we awake? Are we aware? Are we participating in the family of God? Or are we doing our own thing? So as in the days of Noah, if you're doing your own thing and not doing God's thing, you're going to get washed away.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2007 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.